Hello, lovely listeners. This is Marie from Two Girls, One Reasonable Cup, and you're listening to Casting Views. Oi, oi, oi.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Views, the podcast that takes a topic each week and, as the name suggests, cast views. This week is another Who's Coming to Dinner episode, and I know I say this a lot, but I actually couldn't be more excited to tell you who I've got. I have got Karen and Anne from the Sugar Coated Murder podcast. Hello, you two.
Hi, Dan.
Tally-ho.
Wait, did you say tally-ho?
Yeah, is that not
That's what you say when you say goodbye, I think.
Oh, I thought that was ta-ta.
Ta-ta? What the hell?
I don't know.
You're making up stuff
what?
Now.
What?
Well, we're happy to be Ahoy. Here, Ann, even if we don't. Oh, boy.
That's a record, I think, even for you two. 15 seconds and it's derailed already.
Oh, no.
But you expected that, Dan. You wouldn't have invited us if you had not expected it.
I had a whole rest of an intro to do for you two.
Completely hijacked it.
So I was going to say, yeah. So, you know, Karen and Ann, podcast host, superb baker, award-winning authors, but more importantly, two amazing people who I'm lucky to call friends.
Oh,
there you go.
Dan.
That
brings a tear,
Dan. that did bring a little. I got a little weepy there, Dan. That was very sweet.
It's all true. It's all true. I mean, you are wonderful people. So I need to say it as well. So, God, time flies. It's coming up to a year actually where I got married last year, and you
it's
two,
crazy.
Yeah, you two sent me some wonderful gifts through the post. So I have to thank you both for that. That was extremely thoughtful. And yeah, brilliant gifts. I think I sent you, didn't I, Karen, the pictures of me.
If
I say modelling them, people can then make their own minds up what they think you sent me. So we'll leave it at that.
That's right. Let's just leave a little air of mystery. Yeah. But you know what, Dan, we adore you. And we just wanted to celebrate your huge milestone in your life. And we thought it was a big deal. So we wanted to make a big deal.
Absolutely. Oh,
thank you
We're
very
so
much.
We're so happy for you.
Yeah, congratulations still.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah, almost a year. Like I said, unbelievable.
I know.
But this isn't about me. This is all about you. So we've got you on for the Who's Coming to Dinner episode. So hopefully you know what that's all about. So we are going to get you to host your perfect dinner party. But before we do that, we're going to dive a little into the two of you and what makes your podcast your podcast. So you've probably had a lot of these questions before, but just in case anyone hasn't subbed to you yet, and if you haven't, what are you doing? Do it now. Go.
What are you
go
doing
press,
with your life?
Go.
Subscribed.
go press subscribe now. So, well, actually, do you know what? No, I'm orders all out the window, and if people could see, it's taken me 40 minutes to get this podcast set up with tech issues, right? So that's why my order be damned, I think. Let's start firstly, let's start with your book. So you are, as I said, you are authors, but not only that, award-winning authors now. So yeah, tell us how that's gone and what a whirlwind that's been.
Oh, it has been. It's been a
whirlwind.
Is a really good word
to describe that,
yeah,
for sure. I think we've won six awards.
And
we've got one honorable mention in there somewhere. So it's just been, we never expected anything like that. When we wrote the book, we thought a couple family members would probably
read it. We didn't expect.
We hit, at a year mark, we were so close to us having sold 1,000. That was our goal. We didn't quite make it there by the year mark. But
so that was our personal goal. Our publisher said 750 in a year, you've got a successful book.
Yeah, she said
so 750. We exceeded what our publisher said.
Yeah, but we don't listen to people.
We set our goal for ourselves.
We set our own rules. So we just missed the mark for our personal goal. But yeah, we were really proud of what we did. It's still hard to believe that we did it. I'm still wondering, how did we do that?
I know, right?
But it's like, when the time is right, it happens.
I remember you in our chat saying that you were starting to do it. And, you know, at the time I thought, that's great. But yeah, to then actually see the book, and I've got a copy on my bookshelf as well.
Aww.
What an achievement. I just think it's fantastic. I've spoken to a couple of people now who have written their books, and I'm thinking, as a kid, I always wanted to write a book, but I think you sit down And I don't know how you get past that. How am I going to start this?
Yeah, that's the hardest part.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at a blank page, it's the most intimidating thing in the world.
So it's called Click, Click, Click. Do we get any sneak preview about, is there anything else coming out soon?
Well, we've started.
We have started a second book.
Soon is the word. This one's not going as quite as quickly as the other one. You know, the other one, the first one, we wrote it in 6 months.
We did, right.
Which is really incredible for writing a book. This one, we've started, we've got some words on some pages. We've got an outline and we've kind of assigned each other sections to start on. That's kind of our process. But I feel like we keep saying, okay, we're gonna tackle this. But I think we've got a couple other things on our podcast list that we're trying to achieve. And until those things are achieved, I don't think that our plates are going to be cleared enough to really get in there and get this book going. So, but it will be written. I just don't know if it will be 2024.
Oh, it will be in 2024.
It will be?
It will be.
Promise?
We will write it. It will be, we'll be done writing it. I don't know if it'll be published. In 2024, okay. But we'll be done writing it.
Okay, well, that's good news. Look at that. We just had a book meeting.
So we
charge this to our book expenses.
And you heard it here first. And is it going to be another based on a factual case?
Yeah, it will be based on that case. This one will be a little bit different.
It's fine. You don't have to give anything away.
No, I'm not giving anything away. I promise. The last story was a story, you know, that it just, we had thought about writing a book and then fate kind of intervened and we ended up doing an interview with one of the murderers. And from there, it just continued to grow into this huge thing. And then suddenly we were, oh my God, we have to write this book. This is a little different.
Yeah.
Because the murderer is no longer alive.
So
we can't sit down and interview him.
Yeah, you can't interview him. And it's a touchy subject with his family. So they wouldn't want to do an interview.
No.
And we want to write a story in a way that protects them and their children and the children after that. So we're trying to be really delicate in the way we write it. But the goal is still there. The goal with all of our books is to honor those that were murdered. In a way, eventually the story, I just think it's harder for us to come up with the story when it's not as, when you don't have an interview with the murderer, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have the inside.
We really had a peek inside of that murderer's brain.
Right.
So now there's a lot more research
right.
on our end. And I think we've decided that it's going to be based on a true story, but you know, the first one, we based it on actual court documents. It was so factual.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is a little bit different. And, you know, we'll get there. We're just trying different styles of writing and how to tell the story so that it does honor the victim. But we certainly are not out to victimize anybody else.
Right.
And, you know, murder has such a ripple effect. If you think about, it's not just about the murder and the murderer and the victim. And that murderer has a family too. And so we want to be respectful of that family, especially because they're from our hometown. There has to be an air of respect there. But at the same time, you have to tell the story, and the story is never pretty.
That's right.
There's just no other way to say there was a monster amongst us and he did a bad thing. So, you know, we'll get there. I think
it's going to be a really great story because Karen knew this murderer in the next book. It was a classmate of hers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's going to be a really good
story. Not
just
a classmate. He was a friend. I considered him a buddy.
Yeah.
So, and one afternoon he just made a really horrible decision. And it turns out that I didn't know him at all. Yeah. So we're trying to get as many perspectives in there as we can. And we will. We're excited to write it. It's just a matter of, I think, I don't know, do we need another one of those book writing retreats?
We might have to go on another retreat.
Yes.
We're like, oh, we're going to write a book, but we go and test all the food and then we meet people at the bar and do shooters. We might need another one of those.
Yeah, sure. I think that's what really helped get that book going.
Yes.
So, and again, I'll say now again, congratulations on the achievement, A, of getting a book published, but B, also multi-award winner now. I should really go back and edit the introduction. At any point, do you foresee yourselves maybe doing anything in the fictional side of things? Is that something that's ever grabbed you?
We've poked around at some fictional ideas, like some cozy murders that we could maybe add some of our humor to, which is, you know, kind of a delicate dance, but I think there's a way to do it.
What's the other one they call it? A novella? A telenovela.
Yeah, like a novella type of thing. And that would, you know, and we had thought about doing it based on some of the different scenes around our area. We live in Charleston, so there's lots of history here, lots of really iconic landmarks and things here.
And we always find ourselves in some sort of a predicament.
We always find ourselves in a predicament. We always think of stories kind of on the fly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, not too long ago, I guess it was for our book launch when we walked across to that jewelry store. We talked about writing a book about a jewelry heist. And using that jewelry store the main center of the scene and stuff. So, but we've poked around with fiction. I mean, I wish, you know, in my hindsight, when I blew out my birthday candles all of my life, I should have been wishing that I could just be, that I could make enough money to be a full-time author, because nothing would make me happier that if we could just write all the time.
Well, you never know. You never know.
You never know.
Watch your space. Watch your space. But on the podcast then, and I'm going to ask you some of the, you know, the, like I said, questions you've probably been asked 100 times before. But I guess the two obvious questions are, what made the two of you start the podcast and what made you choose that subject?
Oh, well, I mean, let's see. We're in the midst of writing our second book about a murder that took place in our hometown. So murder seemed only natural.
Yes.
And then baking is a comfort for us. We grew up in the kitchen baking with our mom, and it just brings us comfort. And that's where conversations happen. And, you know, that's where you kind of spill the tea. You know, you gossip back and forth when you bake, and it's a fun time. It's, you know, and then you think when somebody dies, what do? You bake them a casserole.
Yeah.
It's always something that involves the kitchen. So.
I feel like for both of us, and I think growing up too, the kitchen was the nucleus of our home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, that's where we gathered to bake for holidays. And, you know, we learned to cook at very early ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were cooking. I mean, I know by the time we were in high school, even maybe a little bit before, either one of us could set a full table and cook a full meal without anybody's help.
Yeah.
So I think cooking and baking were it's just a natural thing for us. And it's something that we've enjoyed doing together as sisters. So I just, you know, we've done some really funny things in the kitchen.
Yeah. And then we had a friend, we were at a gathering, and we have a friend that is a psychic medium. And she encouraged us to do a podcast and to include baking in it somehow. And we just we have a tendency not to go against what psychic mediums tell us to do.
Okay.
It just doesn't seem right.
If the universe says start a podcast,
you start a podcast.
Yeah.
You Google how to podcast and you figure it out.
Yeah. I think I only started my first listening to podcasts around that same time. So I wasn't even that familiar with podcasts.
No, the first time I had ever heard a podcast was we were in the car and you were like, I want you to listen to this podcast. This is a podcast.
Right.
It's like, okay.
You see, I didn't know that's how you two started. You see, all this time later, I still didn't know. And yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because you were told to do that. And now look at what this journey, where it's brought you, right?
Right.
It's amazing. Right. Well, first of all, we've met, case in point, you. We've met the most incredible people that we consider really dear friends of ours that we've never met face to face.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because we're all on this kind of wild ride together, we all have different journeys that we're on, but we've all kind of intersected at this podcasting intersection. Yeah. So that has been the most amazing thing. And then just having an outlet for creativity and just for, I mean, honestly, whether the microphone is off or the microphone is on, we are who we are. And we do the same thing and talk the same way and tell the same silly stories.
Yeah.
Whether the mic is on or off. So you might as well throw a microphone on there. And I mean, I can tell you that when our kids were little, we had one of our cousins that we were at a funeral. And, you know, you see cousins that you don't see for years. And one of our cousins.
A funeral that we wore tiaras to.
Yes, we wore tiaras to this funeral because it was a dear aunt of ours that had passed away. And before she did, we had done a toe sock and tiara party for her. Mm-hmm. Right, and so yeah. We wore our tiaras to the funeral. And this cousin just said, I don't know why there isn't a camera following the two of you around all the time.
Right.
It's like somebody is missing out on some really good footage. So, and you know, we are who we are. We're definitely a little quirky, but we enjoy our time together and we enjoy the bond that we have together. So why not just blast it out there for everybody else?
That's right.
No, and I think you could tell that when you're listening to your show, absolutely. And people can't see this, but I've just got the biggest smile on my face talking to the two of you because you two are just brilliant, you know. And honestly, it really is a what you see is what you get with you two. In terms of your pod then and the cases you choose, is there, how do you choose them? Or is it a case of, you know, unfortunately in this world there are so many that it's just a case of you are just sort of finding the ones that have some sort of resonance either with locality?
So for both of us, it's you kind of like, you know, we listen to murder shows and we read articles about murders. I mean, we are obviously true crime fans and a little bit obsessed. So I could be watching a show about just about anything, but if there's somebody talks about a murder, I jot that victim's name down and then I go kind of look it up and read about it. But something really magical happens with us because there have been times where, I know Anne has had this experience too, there's been times where I'm researching a murder story and I'm trying to write up the case and the story and everything that I want to cover, and it's just not sitting with me. Mm. And somehow I will find, while doing this research, I'll find a similar murder or another victim pops up in a story. And when that happens, a lot of times I get chills all over my body. And that to me is the universe saying it's time for this victim's story to be told.
We sound very mystical, but
it is almost a spiritual really experience happen. For us.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times we've had signs out there from the universe that this was actually the right story to tell at the moment that we told it, whether it's been an email from the parent of a murdered child that we talked about thanking us for covering her daughter's story,
right.
Or we find out that the day that we recorded the podcast about this murder victim, it was actually his birthday and we had no idea. Things like that, it just tells us, and I'm getting chills again, but that's kind of happened. So it's almost organic the way that it happens for us. And sometimes we have trouble staying on our weekly schedule. And I think sometimes it's because we haven't found the right story to tell yet.
Yeah. Well, Ed, we both work full time.
Yeah, we do. We both have full-time jobs. Families and those things, but aside from that,
that's the thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love my podcasting, but when I've had a week like this where I've been ill for a week and then work starts, you know, getting busy, and then you have some technical issues, it you can't help but start getting stressed with it.
Throw the towel in.
Yeah. and I think something you were saying in the last answers as well, I just wanted to make sure it put through here as well, is that you two, you're not just picking a crime or something that looks like, oh, that'd be a great crime to feature. You are promoting the voices of the victims, aren't you? That's what you're always keen to do is to highlight the victims more so than the murderer themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we try to cover cases that have not been blasted all over the media. So we stay away from those big cases because we feel like through the media, we've gotten to know that victim a lot. And I'm not saying they don't deserve to have their story told. Their story is being told. But there are so many victims out there who get lost in the whole crime, because once that victim is gone, it becomes about the murderer.
Yeah, because the only thing you really have at that point is – the obituary of the victim.
Yeah.
But you've got, you know, the psychological profile of the murderer. You know all about his family history. You know all about his MO, his, you know everything about the murderer at that point, and you really don't know that much about the victim other than what you might find, you know, in an obituary, really.
Or in a small article in a local newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's
so we try to bring that to light.
We do. We try to bring
it to light. And then we add some of our sister banter.
Yeah, you know, when we're telling the story, we are who we are. So not in an irreverent way at all, but we do tend to, you know, cut up with each other a little bit.
Well, we mispronounce words.
Or we make up our own words.
We do.
We've got a dictionary going.
Yeah, that's another
thing. That's one of the things that we're thinking about publishing eventually is our own sugar-coated murder dictionary. Yeah.
I'll be buying it. So yeah, get it out there. Get it out there.
Yeah, get it out there.
What the hell are they trying to say here?
Well, we've made up some really good words that I think that Webster needs to really take a look at.
I'm disappointed every year when they don't come out with
when they say that there's new words being added to the Webster dictionary. We're like, is that one of ours? And it never is.
Next year. Again, there you go. Next year.
Next year. We'll keep waking up words and eventually maybe somebody will say, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And, you know, we always have antics. Like, for instance, we've got this, I know you probably don't do video, but just for you to know, we've got this lovely screen behind us.
Yes.
And yesterday we spent...
It's our new setup. It's our professional setup.
It's very professional. Only when we were putting it together, we didn't read the directions all the way. So we put it together and the actual fabric panel part is now held up by hair clips.
Yeah.
Because we screwed everything in tight without putting those panels on.
Yeah.
So we now have to take it apart completely.
Yeah.
Well, first we put
half of them upside down.
Right.
So we had to undo those and switch them back. And then we were like, okay, now that we switched them back, we're going to tighten everything down. We got
it
all up, all together. And I was like, wait,
how do we
put the panels on?
Yeah, and then
we were looking, we're like, oh yeah, that was like step three.
Yeah. That's Karen and Ann.
That's how we do things.
Yeah. And I'm looking at a really cute neon sugar-coated sign as well.
Thank you. My secret Santa this year got me that for Christmas.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I need one. I mean, I'm happy for it to say sugar-coated as well, but I need one in my background. Yeah.
Sugar-coated Dan. Yeah.
Danny Buckets.
Oh, my gosh. Danny Buckets. The sad thing is we really wanted murder, but there is no sign company that will print the word murder.
Oh, really?
They don't like
They won't do it.
They don't like it.
So I either have to find a local person to do it or it's just never going to be murder.
Okay.
So we can put sugar-coated Dan on there.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be my secondary podcast, but that's a subscription only.
Subscription only.
And before we go into it, we've kind of touched upon it. So the baking element, and you said that's really important to you anyway, just sort of in life. Yeah, sort of some of the recipes you do, I really need to meet you to. I can just imagine the smell in the kitchen when you're making these.
Yes.
So, like you said, do you just thoroughly enjoy baking? Is that something then, I think you said it was, but something you've always done?
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I'm having a stressful time in my life, if I'm upset or sad about something, the best way for me to get through it or to heal from it is to get in the kitchen and bake. That's just what I do.
Most of the time
I give it away. I don't normally cook it, but Karen and I are so in touch with each other. If I start baking something, she lives two floors below me. She'll just instinctively be like, are you baking?
I will text her in the middle of the day and say, are you baking cookies right now? And she'll say, oh my God, I just pulled them out of the oven.
Yep.
So, and I'm like, I'll be right up.
Yeah.
but listen, we are home bakers. We are not professional bakers.
You.
And I'm going to give you a very great example. We went out last night and celebrated Anne's birthday. Her birthday was earlier this week. Happy birthday, Sugar.
Thank you.
And what we had decided a while back, a few years ago, was that we were going to stop giving each other presents for our birthdays, but we were going to be the person in charge of baking that person's birthday treat. So last night it was my turn to bake So I decided I was going to do, I found this great, what I thought was a great recipe, and made brown buttered almond cupcakes with brown butter almond icing, and worked pretty hard on them. And I was very proud of them, and nobody liked them. They were awful.
Really?
Yeah. So
I thought they were good.
Thank you, sugar.
I can't imagine them being awful. But what you're saying though about being home bakers rather than professional, I think home baking is just so much better. You know, have that homemade items. I just don't bake. That's the problem with me.
Well, Dan, when we get over to see you, because that is on our bucket list, we will come and we will be turning your kitchen into a bakery for you.
It's out there now. It's out there on this podcast.
That's right.
Can't take it back.
Hold you to that. Right. Let's move on to what we got you on here for. But before we do, we'll just hear from some friends. We're going to hear from the ever lovely Wilsons. So let's hear from them now.
Love them.
The super familiar with the Wilsons podcast. You know that family whose house you hung out in when you were a kid? The house was a little loud and chaotic, but always fun, and sometimes felt more home than home. Well, that's us.
We're the Wilsons, and we welcome you into our podcast with silly chat, ridiculous games, and interviews with interesting people.
Like a spin doctor. The super familiar with the Wilsons podcast.
Welcome home.
Right. Okay. So we're back. So, as always, dinner party, I'm guest number one. I always have to put myself first through the door.
Yeah.
What I want from each of you, as I said, is a course. So we're going to have the starter, a main, and a dessert. For each course, then you'll also introduce a celebrity or person of note. Now, they can be living or deceased, but yeah, let's go from there. So for each course, what we'll do is if we have the meal, the food first, and then who you're gonna bring in.
All right. Well, for me, my appetizer is going to be a stuffed mushroom. First off, I am terribly allergic to seafood. Anything pretty much that comes out of the ocean, I'm allergic to it. Fish, shellfish, everything. Cannot have it. So we're going to stuff those mushrooms with some breadcrumbs and some cheese, and it's going to be delicious. Next, we're going to move on to the entree where I'm going
to do you have to introduce your person first?
Oh, when does my person come?
Oh, yeah, no, we'll do, yeah, so we'll do the course and a person, and then you alternate between the two, yeah.
Don't rush through the whole meal.
Let's tease people with this.
I was going to go for it. I was taking all
you were hungry.
Through. I was starving. we should be going to lunch after this, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to invite Melissa McCarthy to my meal because she is an outstanding actress, but I've seen her on some other shows where she's not an actress, but like a co-host for some home design things. And I just think she's a really neat person. I think she could help carry conversation. And I just think she's a kind of cool person.
I'm very excited to meet her.
Yeah.
So she's definitely
Melissa McCarthy, you're invited.
Meet.
We're having stuffed mushrooms so far.
It'd be quite a lot of laughter at that table then as well, wouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely, which I love laughter.
Yeah, and I think she might get us. That's the hardest part. It's you got to find people that are going to get you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Okay. What you got, sugar?
Okay, so for my appetizer, I'm going to keep it pretty simple, and I'm probably going to bring out a really good salad, but I'm really picky about my salads. So my salad is going to consist of romaine lettuce, cucumbers, a little bit of onion, croutons, and blue cheese dressing because I have to have my blue cheese. So, but my person that I'm going to invite, which I think is going to really hook into yours, I'm bringing Sandra Bullock.
Oh, Sandy. She absolutely.
Is one of my all-time favorite actresses. I absolutely adore her. I have always felt in my soul that if she ever met us, she would want to be our friend.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
So I just feel like that she would get us and that she would just be like, where have you been all my life?
I agree. I really do.
And
agree.
I just feel like that's definitely who I want at my table.
Yeah.
So I'm going Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. I mean,
it's delightful.
She's had quite the career as well. Film wise, hasn't she? You know, sort of starting off.
And she has beautiful children, so she can bring her kids.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, bring all of them.
Yeah, bring them.
Sure.
So, It's quite a power opening by you two there, really, isn't it?
We're not messing around.
Yeah. Okay. So you're having the salad, and so we've got the table. We've got me. So I've said hi to Melissa and Sandra. I think they've said hi back to me. I think I'd get on with them too. So we've.
Oh, slow down, Dan. We're getting on already.
Slow it down, Danny.
It's not that kind of party.
You gotta play hard to get a little bit there, buddy.
I've thrown all that away, haven't I? That illusion.
Right? Derailed it again.
somebody turned the heating up. I think we should move on quite swiftly. What I was going to say, what are we having next? But I am. What are we having next then? So we've finished the mushrooms.
Yes, we're going to go right on to the. To the main course, and that is going to be filet mignon. Oh. I'm a steak girl. I love steak. I love all kinds of steak. I like to beef steak. Don't try to bring me some weird animal.
No.
Like, don't bring me elk or bison.
Bear.
Or,
don't give me a bear steak. Don't
bear or deer. Don't give me that.
That's not steak. I just want beef. Honestly, it's not steak.
No, yeah. Beef. Filet mignon. It's going to be a nice whole filet that is cooked in the oven with some, you slice the top of it and put some garlic cloves in it. And then you make this nice mustard sherry sauce to go on top of it. You cook it to a delightful medium, medium rare, but probably medium because my sister will be at the party. So she needs hers a little bit more done.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Thank you. Do you want to know the sides, or do I need to wait on the sides?
No, let's hear the sides. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do some new potatoes, like the little red potatoes. They're going to be roasted with some olive oil and rosemary. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do some sauteed squash. I love squash. In the South, we saute our squash until it turns to mush. We add a lot of butter, little bit of sugar to bring that sweet flavor out, some onion. It looks like a pile. It's not even yellow by the time we're finished.
No, we caramelize it.
But it is deliciously wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the entree.
Yeah,
who's coming?
Oh, I get to bring another guest?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm in the room.
Paying attention.
Yeah. I think I'm going to bring.
Dan, I'm sorry.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of controversy about this one, but I'm bringing Angelina Jolie. I'm bringing Angie.
Why is there controversy?
Yeah, yeah. I know some people don't care for her.
Melissa and Sandy are going to be okay with her.
I just think that she's such a cool person.
I'll pull up a seat next to her. Don't worry.
I'm sure you will.
Here we go again, Dan.
My God,
getting a little spicy. We have not served any spice in this meal so far. Dan, bring in the spice.
Cut him off. Oh, he's got to switch to tea now. Yes. No more wine for you,
water. Dan. You can only have water.
I love the work that she's done with all of the children's charities, especially her work in Cambodia. And I just think she's a really cool person. I think that she would be really fun to talk to. Now, I don't know if she would get us. She might. Yeah, she might get in there.
She's going to be one of those people that look at us and say.
The old Angie pre-mom, she might come in and be like, oh, yeah, I get you.
Couple of drinks later. Yeah, we're all friends then by that point, right?
We all be speaking French by the end of it, right?
Parlez-vous, Francais. And so that's the end of my French.
Look at that. I was going to say, you're fluent. I was going to say, you are fluent. She would definitely have stories. Like you said, all the work she's done, charitable work, the dalliance with Brad, obviously. Mm. Yeah, there'd be stories.
I wouldn't mind hearing about the dalliances with Brad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very anti-Brad. I fully support her.
Me too. So, yeah. Interesting.
It's a ladies. It's all the
it
ladies.
It seems and like Dan. It's Dan and a bevy of
Dan
ladies.
Dan and ladies. That's why his ladies like, hey.
And I don't think Dan minds.
I'm refusing to comment. But I was going to say it's very female powered here. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
We got you.
So Karen, over to you.
Okay. So since Anne took like the, we're both steak girls. Mm-hmm. There's no question. So this meal that this entree that Anne has brought to me is above and beyond. But I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in some good old Southern fried chicken. Ooh. I just think there's nothing better than good Southern fried chicken.
Agreed.
That's been like brined and some tea like overnight. So it's just, it's got really good flavor and it's crispy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go a little bit past your squash mm-hmm. because Anne makes an incredible squash casserole, or
it's
souffle. A squash souffle. Excuse Ooh. Me so much. Is that French? That could be a French word.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Souffle.
Oh, we're really parlez vous up, yeah.
Souffle. Souffle. So I'm going to definitely do that. And mm-hmm. Then I'm going to just bring in some really good rolls because we're Americans and we love our bread.
Oh, we do. Oh,
and yeah. I like some hot yeast rolls with yes. honey butter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you got to have a little sweet with your savory. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm heading. But the person that I'm bringing actually is no longer with us, which is very okay. heartbroken. But I'm heartbroken about it. I know you are too. Dorothea Benton Frank. She's a local author from here, but has sold, she was a number one New York Times bestseller author, but she wrote about all of her stories centered around here in the Low Country. And they were really great. And Anne and I really enjoyed reading her books. And she had an untimely passing. We've seen her in person a couple of times, mm-hmm. went to a couple of her book signings.
And she got us.
And she got really us. She really did. Yeah. Yeah. She understood our personality. She never kicked us out of any of her events, no. which was really mm-hmm. sweet of
Even
her.
Even though we
probably should have been.
Tried so many times to figure out where she lived.
We did used to try to stalk her and try to figure out where she lived, but we never could figure it out. So that was a little upsetting for us. I felt like she was trying to avoid us and I couldn't understand it. But I'm definitely bringing her because I loved her style of writing and I would really like for her to give us a little bit of a master class at dinner on writing books.
Yes. Oh, that would be fabulous.
Yeah, I feel like we could use that little punch
yes,
in the arm.
Absolutely.
In our penmanship. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I do love when people bring authors to the table here because, yeah, I just think the mind of an author, well, I mean, I'm talking to two now, right? But I think like the discipline and the way that the mind of an author must work, you know, to get the stories, the features out and to get it to fill those pages and to do book after book, I think is, yeah, it just always amazes me how somebody does that.
Yeah, definitely.
Us too.
Yeah. Yeah. We're amazed at people that do that as well because we still can't believe we did it and we only did it once.
Yeah.
So yeah, sure. But that's, I'm definitely bringing her. I think that she's going to round out the things that we need.
100%.
Yeah. And I think she'll laugh and she'll cut up with us and have fun. I know she enjoyed a drink or two. So, you know, no problem there.
No problems. Mm-hmm.
So well, I'm definitely going to say the entrees definitely kicked up a level for me. So, you know, I mean, nice starters, but steak, absolutely. I'm a steak person. Tend not to have it that often. The reason being is one that here, if you want good steak, you want it at home, you're paying a fortune for it here anyway. It's, you know, it's not particularly cheap. And if you're going out to a restaurant, unless you know it's a restaurant that is like known for doing really good steak, I probably will avoid it as well. So I knew it
all these years. I've said the reason I don't like to travel It's because you just don't know what kind of food you're going to get in other countries.
No,
and
but
here Dan
you
is saying the steak is not good.
How exciting it would be for Dan for us to go and cook him steak.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. But no, I'm not saying you can't get good steak houses here. It's just
that's it. Dan has said it. He said there are no good steak houses in England.
I was going to say clip that
I'm
bit, but I'm editing this, we tend not to go to steak houses anyway. I prefer other meals rather than steak. But when I'm on holiday, and if I've been to the States or whatever, yeah, I'll always grab a nice big juicy steak. Mm-hmm. I think there's some, you know, something so nice and again homely about sort of steak.
Yeah.
And
it's very comforting.
Southern fried chicken, you know, what else
can't
is there to say about that? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, just can't go wrong with it.
Chicken is great anyhow.
Yes.
Yeah, and as you're saying, the bread, I could eat probably a loaf of bread if it's the right bread or it's freshly baked. I'm eating a loaf of that before I've even started the meal, right? So
yes.
Yeah, there's just something about like a nice fresh cooked loaf or rolls. Yeah, I'm getting hungry now. I'm going to say, I'm really glad this time. Normally I record these late on after I've eaten, but I haven't had dinner yet. So I'm really pleased today because I'm always so hungry by the end of this.
Now you can take this menu to your wife and say, can you cook this stuff for me, please?
Well, I keep joking about this. I think I'm going to put together the Casting Views cookbook.
Oh, yeah.
You should.
So, yeah, I do need to keep making sure I send the waivers to the guests before they come on saying that. Everything they say is my intellectual property now. Right.
I think if you just say that at some point during the recording, it's good enough.
There we go. Yeah, I own all this. Right.
I own all this.
Anne, let's talk about your dessert.
All right. I'm going to finish our dessert off. First, I'm going to serve coffee because I love to have a nice hot cup of coffee after my meal.
Me too.
And some restaurants are not into that. And it really
blows my mind
me.
When we go and we try to order coffee and they're like, we don't have coffee.
We don't have coffee. How do you, well, then why do you have dessert? That's
silly.
Yeah, but I'm going to serve a beautiful key lime pie with it. Mm. Our mom spent years finding or creating the perfect key lime pie recipe. She tasted key lime pie from, all kinds of restaurants everywhere. And she pulled little bits and pieces from different recipe cards that she collected along the way and created the perfect key lime pie.
It truly is perfection.
So I think it's got a nice meringue topping on it. I think it just would be the perfect way to end the meal, cleanse the palate with the key lime. Have some coffee, maybe some Bailey's.
Oh,
in your coffee.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, gotta have a little something in that coffee.
Oh, yeah.
That way you can sleep better.
Night.
Hopefully, we're not driving home from this dinner.
Yeah.
So I've only ever had key lime pie once, right? And that was in the States.
Wow.
Is it just served on its own like that, or does it have a sauce or a cream or something with it, or is it just as it is?
I know some restaurants will put it on top of like a gelée.
Or
I guess,
a coolie, like a raspberry coolie or a strawberry coolie.
Right, yeah.
But for us, it just is, that's it doesn't
if you have,
need
if
a
If you
sauce.
Have mamas, you won't need any sauce. Mm-hmm. It just, you wouldn't want to ruin that flavor with anything else.
It's the perfect balance of sweet and tart.
Yeah, it really
is. It's lovely.
Yes, it is lovely. And we're blessed to have a mom that perfected such a wonderful dessert.
Indeed. Indeed.
Absolutely. This is what I said. I think I had, it was Adam from Decane with the Boys on, and he chose cheesecake for his dessert. And I said, it was always funny. As a kid, I didn't like cheesecake. I just did not like it. And I think it's because we were getting some of the shop-bought ones and just turned me off. But then family members were making it, homemade one, and that was like, it was like night and day. It was something completely different, and I realized I did like cheesecake. I just didn't like shop-bought ones. So
right.
Especially back in the 80s and 90s, they're probably better now. But yeah, and I'm absolutely with you on the coffee. There's nothing better than after a meal, a nice either espresso or a nice strong coffee after. Yeah, I'm all about that. So.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll just have like a coffee bar.
I think a coffee bar with with some different
cordials
that you could add to.
There you go.
You know that you can
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh God, I can't wait for this party.
Yeah. That's true.
I can't wait for the party.
Okay, and who is the final person that is going to be enjoying all this?
I think that Karen's probably going to get really mad at me for saying this. Oh.
If you take mine, I'm going to be so mad at you.
Oh, I don't know.
Just do it.
But I feel like there needs to be music at the end.
I knew you were going to do this. You can't take him from me.
Okay, I won't. I'm going to bring Zach Brown.
Okay.
From the Zach Brown Band.
I do like him.
Because I really, really like his music. And I find him to be very talented. And nice to look at.
He's easy on the eyes.
Easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it
we saw him in concert and loved him.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to rethink this.
Yeah.
Hang on. I'm looking at the dynamic of all of my people. You know, you got Angie in there and she's going to catch everybody's eye. So Zach is not going to be looking at me with Angelina Jolie sitting at my table.
Well, you should have thought about that from the beginning.
It's fine. Don't forget, I'll be talking to her. Don't worry. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, you keep her
she'll
busy.
Be with Dan at that point.
Dan, you're such a great host. You're willing to keep Angelina. I mean, that's so... Yeah. I mean, really.
I'm there for you too, okay? I'm there for you too.
BFFs forever.
I think some good music would do us well.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Rock it out. Do a little dancing. I'm not like a country western. I'm not a country music person, but I really like Zach Brown.
I know you do. She plays that for her dog when she leaves.
I do. He gets to listen
to
that.
He gets to listen to Zach Brown. And he likes it.
Yeah. I don't know how he would do with the Black Crows. So I try not to leave that.
Yeah, I don't think
like
so.
The Black Crows.
Yeah,
too,
I think Zach Brown is better for him. He's more positive.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Definitely. Not so emo.
Emo.
Okay. And
here are you bringing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What kind of dessert are you sending our way?
I will tell you that dessert is the hardest part of this meal for me because there's so many desserts that I want that I honestly don't know. I mean, can I bring 10 desserts? Like, I need a dessert bar.
Oh, that's a great idea, dessert bar.
I think I would have to do a dessert bar because there's so many desserts that I love. But I think for this meal, to balance it out, I'm going to ask Anne to make her pound cake.
Oh.
I'm going to want an amaretta pound cake.
Okay, I can do that.
I'm going to want it sliced, buttered, and toasted.
Yes, because why wouldn't you have a pound cake that already has a pound of butter?
Yes, and then butter it and toast it because then it's crispy and buttery. Oh, it's just, if you've never had pound cake served that way, your life is not complete.
It's not. It really
it's not
is
complete.
Not.
And we, unfortunately, that's how we eat our pound cake many times for breakfast.
Indeed.
We have pound cake breakfast with butter, toasted. It's just delightful.
It's
so.
The Southern way.
But yeah, I'm definitely bringing, and I'm going to need to have some coffee. Mm-hmm. I have to have decaf because I'm 80,000 years old, I guess, but I have to have decaf so I can go to sleep that night.
Decaf's not bad.
But I'm going to need just a little bit of whipped cream on top of decaf
fresh.
Coffee. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fresh whip, like the real whipped cream, not like don't spray it from a can.
Yeah.
That's
going to
really irritate me.
Yeah.
See, I was just reminding myself of what pound cake was because we don't. Well, we've got it here, but we don't call it pound cake. But yeah, I kind of get what it is now. And yeah, it's
what
just
do
a
you
classic.
Call it?
Do you know what, I think it's the way it looks, but I don't think it is the same. It's similar to something like we call like a Madeira cake, the way it looks and the consistency. But yeah, it's just a nice classic like sponge,
it is very
isn't it?
Classic. It's a very classic sponge. It's a little dense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does have a pound of butter
in it.
That's
really
why it's a pound.
That's the thing that always gets me right. I love the British Bake Off, right? The show.
Ooh,
I think I've said in the chat.
Please.
I love that. But whenever you see them and you see the amount of butter that they are putting into their bakes, it's just unreal, isn't it? It's
that butter gives you good skin, buddy. Don't
that's good stuff.
Don't scoff at it. That's what there's what you get your glowing skin from.
I am very much lately that you've got to enjoy yourself, right? As long obviously there's got to be some moderation, but it's a short ride around, right? So
exactly.
I'm gonna enjoy myself. Okay, who is your final guest?
My final guest is Jimmy Buffett. R.I.P. Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
I am a die-hard Jimmy Buffett fan, have been since I was in college. When I met my husband, we connected over being huge Jimmy Buffett fans, raised my children on Jimmy Buffett music. He's more than just a musician. He is, a lot of people, and I agree with this, have said he is like our, oh gosh, now he's going to go right out of my, hold on, there's a famous author who wrote Huck Finn.
Mark Twain.
He's our modern day Mark Twain. But he lived a lifestyle. He didn't just sing about it. He lived it. And I will always miss him. We miss him so much. but that man's music is woven into every piece of fabric in my life, especially with, as an adult, we took our children to his concerts. I'm sure we weren't the best parents for doing it, but I mean, my daughter was 2 years old and we took her to a Jimmy Buffett concert. Yeah. When we were young and first married, we would go, he would play, we lived in Raleigh, North Carolina. He would play three nights in Raleigh and we would go all three nights. Mm. Like, we just couldn't get enough of him. And now he's passed and I will always want him at dinner with me.
Oh yeah.
Always. Yeah, because of his music, his stories, his writing.
Yeah.
I mean, he even wrote a play. Like, he just was an amazing person all around, and just the person that he was and how he touched lives across the world was just amazing.
Yeah.
And so he will always be at every event that I get to bring a person, dead or alive, he's coming with me, whether he likes it or not.
There you go.
Yeah. And so would he be serenading you?
He would be serenading me, but he would also be, I want to just sit down and talk to the man himself.
Yeah.
But yeah, this dinner party is going to go all night long.
I mean, Zac Brown can cover the music.
He can. And they did a song together, which is nice. Yeah.
So when Jimmy needs to take breaks or whatever.
Yeah. When Jimmy needs to talk to me and, you know, stuff like that. But I just feel like, we're going to party all night with Jimmy B there.
Yeah, I think that's great. But this is a fantastic party.
Oh, gosh. This is, I mean, if it ever happened, it would be like world event news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like how the men have been invited to basically entertain while...
That makes sense.
While the women are there to educate us, the men are there to just entertain us. Hello.
Okay, so you kind of almost said it earlier when we were going through this. So, sorry, just on this, I think, two fantastic menus there again. Just to remind, so Anne, you had the stuffed mushroom with the filet mignon, mustard sherry sauce, new potatoes, and sauteed squash with key lime pie to finish. And your guests were Melissa McCarthy, Angelina Jolie, and Zac Brown. Now, the question I ask is, do you think they'd all get along?
Oh, I think they get along very well.
Swimmingly.
Yeah, very, very well. Definitely.
Okay,
definitely.
Okay.
I think it would be fantastic. Oh, Melissa McCarthy can add some humor.
Oh, God,
and, but she's also just a very down-to-earth person.
Yeah. Another person who I feel like if she just had the opportunity to spend 5 minutes in person with
us,
she would be our BFF. I think she'd be like, I'm addicted to these two sisters.
Right. So, I think Angelina Jolie could probably keep us grounded.
Yeah, she'd be like, girls,
rein it in, our moms, whatever. Yeah.
Rein it in.
And then Zac Brown, eye candy for me.
Eye candy and good music. Ear candy and eye candy.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for the senses.
Perfect.
I am a little worried about Karen's menu because there are a couple of items on her menu that she wants me to cook.
Yeah, did you notice that? Like, I'm not cooking anything, but I've got some chores for Annie.
She did say I'm cooking at her party.
So, yeah.
Which is par for the course,
For the course.
Karen, she's like, you cook.
What can I say? I like your cooking.
Well, on that, so Karen, so you started off with a salad. So with romaine, cucumber, onion, croutons, blue cheese dressing. You were having southern fried chicken with squash souffle and rolls and amaretto pound cake. And you were bringing Sandra Bullock, Dorothea Benton Frank, and Jimmy Buffett. So again, do you think they'd all get along?
Oh, swimmingly. Yes, I definitely think, no doubt about it, they would get along.
Okay, excellent. So, and you know, I get on with everyone. So don't forget, I was first through
absolutely.
The door.
Dan gets on with everyone.
Dan gets on with everyone. Oh my God, what a reputation that one's got. It's quite saucy.
Yeah, I should watch how I phrase things. Okay, so I've got...
We'll still figure out a way to make it bad, don't worry.
So I've just got a few more questions then to throw at you before we finish. So we've all had the meal. We're all full to the, you know, full up with everything, starting to get a little bit sort of sleepy. So we move over to the living quarters and you're going to make us watch a film, each of you. And you're going to make us watch a film that if we had to say, right, this is me, or if you want to know me,
you take watch this film.
I don't know what
I
your
think
film
I
is.
Should get to go first this time.
No, I didn't take your last one.
I know that you're going to take my film.
You don't know that.
Okay. All right, you go first, but the I'll heat. Pinch you. Oh, okay. You can do that one. Okay. That's perfect.
We're doing the heat.
Okay.
The heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy is hilarious.
One of my favorites. So I will funny. Say I do when I'm sick, I do like to binge that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that.
Do you not think then Angelina might get a bit jealous if we're seeing a film with Sandra and
Melissa? Well, she'll be so engrossed by your presence.
Yeah, she's not going to want to watch the movie. She's going to be like, y'all watch that movie.
How
I'm
silly
with Dan.
Of me,
y'all
of
are
course.
Still going to be at the
I'm going to get on with Dan.
She's getting on with you, Dan.
We don't even know if y'all are in the same room anymore with us.
Of course. How could I forget that? Remember at the start when I was talking about year married, I might not get to the year depending on when this episode goes out.
wait till the year mark and then release this one.
Let's get the anniversary out.
And he'll be like, well, it was good while it lasted, but at least I've got a cookbook.
I got an invite. It's a dinner party. I couldn't say no. Okay. All right. So what was that? The heat was that? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that's your film. Karen, what are you putting on for us?
I'm putting on Practical Magic.
Mm.
It is a sister movie. Sandra Bullock is in it with Nicole Kidman. Can't go wrong with those two. Sandy is going to have a good night.
Yeah.
She's going to have a good night. Yeah. So
you're going to have to turn up the heat with Angie at this point.
Really? Now Angie's probably going to have something to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan, you're going to have to really do like some fancy footwork or something. Yeah.
I'll schmooze. Don't worry. I'll be.
Perhaps a tap dance or something.
Perhaps just keep feeding her some liquor, like cordials. Here's some.
I'll play her this podcast.
There's another coffee I made you.
I'll play her this podcast. Don't worry.
Yeah, right. She'll be riveted. Yes. So, yeah, Practical Magic. It's a go-to feel-good movie, and it's got all the things we love in it.
It does.
It's got crazy aunts, which we had some, and we've become them.
That's right.
And it's got... intrigue.
Sisterhood. It's
got,
about women supporting women.
It's got a little bit of moira.
Moira.
A little bit of moira for us. And some spirituality. Some
witchcraft.
Rich witchcraft, which we really, I mean, we're not witches, but we love witchcraft. So
yeah.
Can.
We do. But, yeah. We love witchcraft.
I mean, kind of. Well, we like spells and stuff. We like to watch that.
Well, yeah, but we don't cast spells on people.
No, but if I could.
But I cast views. Right.
You so. Have to use. That's right.
And you've kind of answered this one, but I'll see if we can still go through it. So I was going to say what album, what music or artist would we listen to? So I'm going to assume it would be, would it be Jimmy and Zach if we were to listen to?
So have we finished the movie and now it's like
we're sitting around,
we're talking, yeah, we're chatting. Okay. You've got music on in the background.
I have to say, I might put Adele on.
Okay,
that's a good one.
I might put Adele on
because we're trying to chill a little bit.
Chilling, yeah. But if we're at a like up, I might put on Lizzo.
Oh yeah, oh love me some Lizzo.
She would be like really upbeat and a little trashy. So it just depends on. How on Dan is with the other guests, I suppose.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
I've eaten six courses by this point. I'm not moving.
We're all in a coma. Who are we fooling? We're all head back, mouth open, drool.
That's right. I think by this time we can give Zach and Jimmy a break.
I would think so. Yeah, that's true.
Finish it off with some power ladies.
Mm-hmm. I think mine is going to surprise you.
Okay.
I'm going to put on some Sam Cooke. I really love Sam Cooke. And
that's a good one.
We play a lot of his music like at the beach, just when we're chilling out and stuff. And and I like to put him on during the day when I'm chilling and working and stuff. Love Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put on some Sam Cooke.
And this dinner will definitely be taking place at the beach.
Oh gosh. Yeah, so, we are perfect. In a cabana at the beach.
Absolutely.
That's where we are with this dinner.
Yep.
Tiki torches. Mm. No bugs are invited, but we can, there's definitely a full moon, clear sky and nice waves that are making a good sound. Yeah.
Okay. Place. I've had to stay overnight because obviously I couldn't get the plane back and I'm...
of course you did. Of course.
Well, I mean, I had to stay overnight and babysit me and Julian.
Yeah. And I've had six courses and a few drinks, so I've kind of... passed out the next day, but I'm
we won't draw on your face.
Yeah, I get to stay one more night, but you're taking me out for dinner.
Oh, fun.
If we're going out for dinner, is there a particular kind of meal or a place that you like going to, or bar, or do you not really, are you much more about the home cooked?
I like to go out.
I enjoy going out. Yeah. There's nothing like having somebody else.
Where are we
going to
take Dan?
Listen, I think if you want to go, give him the American experience where it's too much food, it's loud, but it's delicious, and you've got a book for a menu and a full-on book, we're going to the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. We're going to the Cheesecake Factory to give him the American gluttony experience. Gluttony.
Yeah, that is definitely some gluttony right there.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Okay.
They have like 30 different kinds of cheesecake.
Yeah. And they are like.
And their food is amazing, but it is. Their curl menu your is toes a book. A full cheesecake. Book, bound.
Yeah.
Wire bound book.
It is wire bound book of food. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I'm taking him.
Wow. I actually was thinking about taking him somewhere local to Charleston.
Okay. That's a good idea.
I feel like I know we had steak the night before, but I'm taking him to like a Hall's Chop House.
Oh, yeah.
That's and you're going to have to wear a dinner jacket. This is a fancy restaurant. So dinner jackets are required at dinner time. But I think that's the downtown Charleston. You know, we're going to take him on the cobblestone streets and let him get a real taste for what historic downtown Charleston looks like.
We don't have Cheesecake Factories in Charleston.
No, we don't. We have to leave Charleston to go
take Angie's jet to Cheesecake Factory.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm going to take you to a really good American chop house.
Nice. Okay.
Where the steaks are like 55 and up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll spare no expense for you. No,
remember to pack my suit then. That's the only thing.
Yeah. You definitely need
bring your
jacket.
Suit. And your Tums, because you probably had steak and eggs for breakfast if you were cooking.
If we were cooking breakfast,
we
you had
steak and eggs for breakfast.
I need to. How can I get over there? I need to get over there ASAP.
That's our favorite breakfast to go out and get together.
Oh, steak and eggs.
We do that on some of our Friday paydays. We go treat ourselves to steak and eggs.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. I love this podcast. Right.
Our cholesterol is through the roof. Your doctor is going to be so mad at you when you get back. But
actually, whatever. My cholesterol is perfect.
It is good.
It's really good.
That's what holidays
are for.
Last time
I went to the doctor, they said eat more red meat.
That's true. They did.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Mine said your cholesterol is great, but we're still putting you on cholesterol medicine.
Oh, that's not right.
So that's not fair. But it's okay. Now I feel like I can eat whatever steak I want because I'm on cholesterol medicine.
Yeah, isn't that the thing? I never forget that years ago, I signed up for a gym. And I remember after the induction, I went and got a McDonald's breakfast.
That makes sense.
Listen, when I lived in Maryland? I went to a gym that was right next to like the Burger King was in the parking lot. So when you came out from the gym and you're hungry, I can't tell you how many times I had a road burger on the way home from my workout.
Oh, listen, Karen and I 1 year decided we were going to go on this big charity walk where you walk from Baltimore, Maryland to Washington, D.C. Mm. It was for a breast cancer walk. We had to raise money for it. It was a big deal.
It was a 60-mile, 3-day walk.
Yeah. So we trained for it by walking some nature paths around her home. And afterward, we would treat ourselves to milkshakes. So she went to the doctor and she was like, I don't understand. You know, my sister and I are training.
I said, I think I have a metabolic disorder.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, why do you think that? And I said, well, my sister and I are training for this walk and we're walking, you know, every weekend. And I mean, I think the longest one walk we did in one day was like 11 and a half miles.
Whatever.
But, you know, I said, we're training for this walk that we're doing coming up. And I said, I keep putting on weight. And she was like, oh, wow. She's like, well, tell me, you know, what your nutrition plan is. I was like, well, I mean, I just eat, you know, like normal during the week. It's no big deal. And right. I was like, the only thing different that I can think of is that we're, you know, after we walk, we go get a milkshake. She's like, wait, you what? I said, we go get a milkshake. We, you know, because
we're recovering.
That's our recovery drink. And she said, you need to come see me after your walk so we can get you on a real diet plan. I was like, wait, what? She said that? This is why you're putting on weight.
Oh, I burned so many calories.
I was like, I'm burning so many calories. She's like, are you running or walking? I said, walking. She said, how long does it take for you to walk 11 and a half miles? I'm like, all day. She was like, oh my God, you don't need a recovery drink. You need to put the milkshakes down.
It doesn't feel fair that you can walk 11 miles and still can't have a milkshake at the end of it. That doesn't feel fair.
Come on.
It was crazy. So it really hurt my feelings. Really hurt my feelings when she said that.
Needless to say, we didn't do well on the walk.
Oh, God, no, I failed miserably. The first day, the medical van came and picked me up out of some lady's front yard because I couldn't get up.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah.
Well, look, it's been brilliant having you back on, and yeah, really sort of happy with kind of what you've put forward to me for,
because
like I said, what you don't know is I've got tickets in a couple of months, I'm over there, so this is more about just finding out what you're actually serving me.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's exciting.
No,
I need to get some supplies.
I need to work out how to get over there. The problem is, right, so you said at the start, you know, the little group we're in, but even then, over there, you're also spread apart. It's
very difficult. No, we've often said we need to rent an Airbnb in the middle of the country and everybody go, and you come over from the UK and we spend a week just in our little podcast heaven
in the middle
of the country. It doesn't even matter what city or town we're in, because we're probably never going to leave the house.
Or just fly
we're
over
be
to the UK
and laughing.
You're not going to be further than like 3 or 4 hours away from me here, wherever you end up in the UK.
That's very true.
So there
and
we go.
We've often said, now that we know Dan, we want to go to England.
There's always a warm welcome for you here. So,
aww.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that way we can bake for you.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Like I said, look, thank you again for coming on. It's always such a pleasure talking to the two of you. Do you just want to say before you go, if you know, kind of what's going on currently with the two of you in your pod? Is there anything? Like I said, this isn't going out for a little while, but yeah, just let us know what's going on and where we can get you and talk to you.
Okay, so our podcast is on all the podcast apps. It's called Sugar Coated Murder. And
you have to do podcasts. Otherwise, you get some weird song. So, Sugar Coated Murder podcast.
Yeah, definitely look for Sugar Coated Murder podcast. And we're trying to dip our toe into the video world. So, that's where we're headed. Yeah. And of course, we're trying to write our book and everything. But the main message we want to leave with people is stay sweet and don't murder.
Because if you kill people, we will talk about you.
That's true.
I got it on my show. They said it on my show. Seriously, so go check them out if you're not already. I will put, when this comes out, that all of the links will be in there in the show notes, including to the book and your YouTube, your video stuff. So we'll make sure
it'll be on video. We're going to try to YouTube some stuff. So, yeah. I mean, it's been a how to YouTube situation.
Yeah.
YouTube for dummies.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, you know where you can get me. Just look for Casting Views across all social media. If you want to come on here and give me your perfect dinner party, if you think, you want to challenge the Karen and Anne to what they've just put forward, yeah, let me know, because I'll gladly have you on. So other than that, I will see you next time.
2, 3, 4. If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got, because you need it. Don't make us get a sport.